Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm reading today from the devotional, Windows on God's World, by Dr. James Tucker, and we're going to talk about limpets. Limpets are those little conical things. Well, you're going to hear everything about it. The title is The Limpet's House on the Rock, and the text is Matthew 7:24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Although most shelled animals dwelling in the sea or on seashores have either a trap door or some other means of closing up tight, the limpet is vulnerable only on the bottom, which is the open side of his cone-shaped shell. Gulls and hungry crabs, as well as other enemies, are ever on the watch for an unsuspecting limpet. With a solid rock footing and a remarkable holding mechanism in its large, muscular foot, this small creature can resist capture from nearly all its enemies. When a limpet digs in and holds on tightly to its rock foundation, it takes more than a simple pulling or pushing to remove it. The only way one can capture it is to slip a knife blade under the shell, thus releasing the limpet's hold. But it has no natural enemies with knife blades, so it needs only to protect itself by hanging on tightly. Moreover, the limpet has a lightning-fast reflex, and at the slightest touch or change in pressure on its shell, it takes hold of the rock. The conical shape of the shell is a safety feature also. When a large wave strikes the rock on which the limpet is living, the water, instead of acting to remove it, operates to hold the shell even more tightly against the rock. This can only work while the limpet is on the rock. However, if it strays onto the nearby sand or other loose substance, it is lost either in the first wave or to the first enemy lurking nearby. There is little chance of this happening, however, for not only does the limpet stay on the rocks, but it has a most remarkable homing ability. It establishes an actual home spot in a particular niche. While the muscular action of its foot wears into a smooth spot or forms, we're not quite sure, to that spot, it will return after every foray for food. The limpet is absolutely dependent on a solid footing, a home built on the rock, as it were, and it must be constantly on guard, for unless it has the proper foundation material beneath, it will be lost. And you know, after reading something like that, it would be nice to ask your children, what is the analogy? And for the younger children, what is the lesson from this story? How can we apply it to God's word? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we have to talk about our children and talk about ways of parenting. We know, Lord, that time is running out and we're preparing a final generation for your soon return. Lord, we ask that you be with us in this show. We praise you that you have sustained it this many years and just continue to be with both Mr. Gamblin and myself as we talk about your love for us. All this I pray in my holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. As we go through this devotional, I'm trying to connect the arts and crafts with it, and they're all in my board called Windows on God's World. And today's devotional about limpets brought to mind all the wonderful shells I've collected through the years. And I love this little video that I've put in my Pinterest site, in my Windows on God's World board, about limpets. This is a limpet fighting off a starfish. In my big jar, I have limpet shells and I have starfish shells, but they just represent the dead carcasses of these little ocean creatures. How wonderful it will be when we go to heaven and we can see these things alive and never die again. So as you're working on your arts and crafts, I put a little shell idea there. You know, you can always find these shells that are bleached out by the sun and just like half of a clam shell. Well, here's a really good craft idea to do. So be sure and go to my Pinterest site, mrgamblin2, and check out how to take and make a galaxy shell using alcohol ink on these sun-bleached shells. It's so cool. The board is Windows on God's World. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. So we want to develop today a daily schedule. A daily schedule should encompass approximately no more than 10 minutes per grade level, per teacher talk. So for example, if you're going to give instruction, you want to limit it to no more than 10 minutes. If you're in the first grade, 20 minutes. If you're in the second grade, 30 minutes. If you're in the third grade. So when you think of that, your subjects where you're instructing take on a new life because now you're making it into small things. So let's say you work with first grade and you are doing math. So for 10 minutes of the math, it might be direct instruction, and that can be broken down. You might give a direct instruction on how to add 1 plus 3, and then you might have the student do 1 plus 3. They might do hands-on. 1 chair plus 3 more chairs equals how many chairs? And remember, as children come to this table, they need to learn the vocabulary and symbols of math. So you need to take time out about that, and you need to connect other subjects to it. So if you're going to do 1 plus 3, you're going to have them see the numbers 1 and 3. You're going to have them see the symbol plus, and you're going to have them see the symbol equals. I still have children getting those pluses and multiplications and division signs mixed up, especially if they're dyslexic. So you want to really build a great foundation. And you would do that by taking into how much time you're going to spend each day on that subject and then build your schedule. Remember, 4 hours is really enough academic time per day for a good homeschool. 4 hours. You might stretch that out where you have 3 hours in the morning, take a break at lunch, and have 1 hour in the afternoon. You might stretch it out where you have an hour, and then you have a half hour recess, and then you have an hour, and then you have a half hour recess, and then you have an hour, and then you have a half hour recess. Whatever you do, don't go much over 4 academic hours a day. The brain just needs time to decompress. So build your schedule. I'm going to just quickly tell you my schedule. I start out in the morning and I do 45-minute periods, but my students aren't all working for 45 minutes. I have quite a few different layers going through. So when we start out with math, I have first grade up to my table first, and then they have their independent work, and then they get to go to centers. And then second grade comes up, and the same kind of thing happens. So all of my older kids have independent work that they're working on to begin with, something that I already know that they know. So they have a warm-up exercise with 6 or 7 problems that they're working on while they're waiting to come to me so I can give them their direct instruction. So as you plan your schedule, just think, okay, we'll take about an hour to do math, but that's because I'm working 10 minutes with this child and 15 minutes with this child and maybe 30 minutes with this child or back again, you know, however you rotate. So that hour is just devoted to math. It can include your math centers. It can include your math games and manipulatives, but that's your math hour. And then you take a break and then you go to your reading hour. And the same thing, you have reading rotation and a variety of things where they're reading, they read to themselves, etc., etc. I could go on and on. So you make your schedule, and then you are always going to try to stick to that schedule and be consistent with that schedule. I do math for 45 minutes. I do recess for 15 minutes. I do reading and my language arts then until lunchtime. But there's so many, such a variety of things that the students are doing during that time with very little teacher talking. I'm coaching them, I'm helping them, but I'm certainly not up there lecturing them. So that covers our curriculum corner, and I think we have time for one parent question. Questions parents ask. This is from Lisa, and she recently adopted a 2-year-old with porcelain colored skin. Everyone else in the family tans very nicely, and so they haven't worried too much about sunburns. And this child burns practically the moment he goes outside. I'll tell you, I have a few of those people in my family too, and we have to make sure that we put a lot of sunscreen on them before they go outside. They wear full long-sleeved swim shirts, and they wear hats. We just do everything because we don't want them to miss. Like if we go to the beach and they can't go out till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they've missed a lot of fun time with the family. So we just plaster, make sure we have a place where they can get out of the sun too, and we just manage it the best we can. We still sometimes have a little spot that gets burnt, but it's worth the time that they can spend with the family. I have another question here. This question is about night terrors, and that is really a difficult thing. I know my son went through it, and I don't really have a good answer for it. I know that, you know, if you're able to go in and pray with them and sing to them, that helps. There's some theories out there that it's a vitamin deficiency. There's other theories out there that, you know, it's an allergy. Whatever the case may be, it's still terrifying to the child. So you can devise, some of my children, my daughter and my son, both listen to Adventures in Odyssey. They have that going on through the night. And so when they do start to wake up, instead of getting terrified, they can listen to that or to the Bible. Some kind of device that helps them know someone's there, where you, if you're working, don't have to get up. Well, that's my advice. Take it for what it's worth. We have to take a break right now. We are still interviewing the young lady, Melissa Garcia, Dr. Melissa Garcia and Wanda Swenson from Weimar College, a great launching place for your homeschooled child, a safe place, conservative. So I hope you stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Why did God choose Mary to be the mother of Jesus?
The answer to your question is hidden in a little verse recorded in the New Testament. Mary, an engaged virgin living in Galilee, looked up one day and there stood Gabriel the angel in her doorway. Not exactly a common sight. "Greetings," the visitor said. "You're highly favored." Mary was also highly scared. After Gabriel calmed her down a bit, he launched into his message. "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Luke 1, verses 31 to 32 NIV. The woman blinked. "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Verse 34. Good point. Virgins engaged to be married aren't supposed to suddenly show up great with child, if you know what I mean. After explaining how the Holy Ghost would make it happen, the angel stood waiting for her response. Now, here comes the answer to your question. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Verse 38. Why did God choose Mary? because she was willing to put personal feelings and the fear of tongue-wagging neighbors aside and allow him to work a miracle in her. If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Welcome back. You're listening to Homeschool Companion. I praise God because, someone that has had experience in the secular university system has to bring some credibility. And I'm sad to say that we need the credibility, but it does bring credibility to have someone of your caliber say, this is really where it's at. I know that I as a parent would even more want my child to go there. So, Wanda, in your working, do the students eat the same healthy lifestyle food that, let's say, someone has come there to recover from depression or drug abuse or whatever they come there for? Do they all have the same basic menu?
Basically, yes. I mean, there is a bit of variation because going through the New Start program myself just a couple of months ago, those people who do a fasting as part of their lifestyle New Start program, because of their fast, they need to introduce foods a little bit more slowly, certain types of foods as soon as they're coming off of a fast. And so students don't necessarily go through that. So there is a little bit of variation, but for the most part, it is the same. And I will tell you, the food is actually delicious. People think, oh no, vegan, that's too strict. But we have wonderful, wonderful chefs at Weimar, and they make fantastic food. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, so now that I've gotten a little bit hungry, can you just share what some of those fantastic foods are?
Oh, they'll have rice with a chickpea curry. They'll have black bean burgers and a coleslaw. We have barbecue tofu sometimes. We have spaghetti and meatballs. They make various different types of desserts on Thursday. So you go into the cafeteria and you say, oh, what are they having for dessert today? And it's really very, very good food. It's very good tasting.
Yeah, say, what are some of the students' favorites?
Some of the biscuits, the pancakes and the waffles. And yeah, I know that one of the favorite for the staff for depression recovery is a smoothie night. It's really very rainbow colored and a lot of options.
Yeah, so sometimes those of us who haven't ever been there or maybe have the stereotypical mindset of, twigs and sticks for lunch and just a Bible college, it really is the whole deal.
Right.
It's the whole deal. It's ministering to the whole person.
Exactly. We want our students to be able to have the best experience at Weimar, and it's not only focusing on their studies. We want them to be able to eat well so that they can perform well. We have 15 miles of walking trails at Weimar, and so there's a variety of different types of exercise that can be done. But we want students to also get out in the fresh air, to exercise, and to really practice the 8 principles of New Start. Getting out in the fresh air, getting the sunshine, eating well, getting the exercise. And so all these things are very important to put your body in the optimal health that God wants for us.
It's a sad thing to say, but, having worked recently in an academy, and the kids were under so much pressure to perform academically that they actually began keeping score with the energy drinks, the empty energy drinks on their little windowsill, you know, and how far they had built it up. And it's really difficult to be in trying to instill in a young person the principles of health if we are overloading them so much with schoolwork that they feel they have to resort to energy drinks to stay awake. So how do you, as a staff, as the faculty, balance the workload, the academic workload, and the students' lives?
One of the things that we are really happy and pleased to share about Weimar is our TCI program. TCI is Total Community Involvement. And every Wednesday in the morning, the Academy students and faculty and staff will go out in the community and we will go and help our neighbors, whether it's washing their car, whether it's raking the leaves in their front lawn, it may be helping someone clean their house, or if they're moving, we might help them to pack up and help them physically with the move if it's local. In the afternoons, the college students, faculty, and staff go out into our community as well. And so we are about making connections and making friends with our community. So that happens every Wednesday. So our students get a break from classes on Wednesday afternoons. We also have Friday afternoons are relaxation time. Students have that for their own getting ready for Sabbath, relaxing, whatever they need to do. But we try to really make an opportunity for all of our students to get outside, to refresh themselves. We have spiritual time on the weekends and midweek. We have worships in the dorm. They have their studies, but we also have a work program. We believe about working needs to be a part of education. And so we have a work ed program where every student gets to learn new skills on campus to enrich their educational experience. And our work ed program, actually, if it provides some scholarships for students. So if they do well in their work ed program, they actually get a work ed scholarship to go toward their tuition.
Well, I'm coming to the end of our time together, and I wondered if you had some last words that just needed to be said to that family that's wondering what they should do for their child. They're finishing their 12th grade and they're ready to help them launch.
Well, we would be very excited if anyone has any questions, if they're just looking at Weimar and don't know a whole lot about it, they want more information, or maybe people know a lot about Weimar and they're ready to come. They can go on the website, they can fill out an application, they can ask us questions. There's a form there just to request more information. So that is on our website at weimar.edu, and click under academics and you'll find the application as well as an inquiry form that people could fill out for more information.
Well, thank you, Wanda. Thank you, Melissa. I've been talking to the faculty from Weimar Institute. Thank you for spending this time with us. We have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.